Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Oh, my buddy Greg Braggs, our buddy, he just tweeted a picture of him with his quarantine look. Says, so when are we shaving it all off? So I guess he's volunteering to shave his head and beard when I do. So we'll see when that happens. That should be, they usually say around treatment chemo number two. So I had chemo number one a week ago. And don't forget, Cap wore his Sylvie Strong shirt, the one that my son designed today. Those deliveries are going out from Obvious Shirts. We are over the $20,000 mark for the V Foundation, where all this money goes to the V Foundation. Thanks to Obvious Shirts. Thanks to our management team at ESPN 1000 for backing this thing and publicizing this thing. You can buy your shirts at obviousshirts.com. There are two different styles as far as the drawings and logos, but there's women's, there are men's, there are youth. So you've got also a V-neck, the deep V, if you will.
You love the deep V.
The deep V. Everyone loves a deep V. I don't know what that means, but yes, they're all out.
Probably
there.
Not what we think it means.
Yes. Yeah. So I got two more weeks until treatment number two. And feeling good and blessed to be able to talk to Abdallah and Neller today. Jesse will be back in a little bit. Waddle is in South Carolina, and he will be back on Monday. So Andy Reid was on the radio station today. And there's interesting stuff going on with Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you guys saw this, about one of the Chiefs beat writers reported that he's going to redefine the way contracts are extended. And we could have a separate conversation on that. Abdallah's got a really good question too about fair or not fair as far as some stadiums having some crowds. Did I see this correctly today? Did Texas approve stadiums to hold 25% capacity for professional sporting events?
So it came out yesterday that Texas is going to allow 25%. So, you know, the entire state of Texas, whether it's, you know, Cowboy Stadium, where the Texans play, you know, where the Longhorns play, where the Rangers play, wherever it is, you're going to be allowed to have 25%. Now, whether the league allows it is something completely different. Or whether college football allows it, or whether the NFL, baseball, you know, it's all up to the leagues, because you have to decide what creates competitive balance, right?
Right, right. Like when in Chicago you can't have a crowd.
Yeah.
In Dallas you can. And the Cowboys get to put, and think about how big their stadium is. It's 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So 25% of that is 25K. You get 20. I don't know how, but I guess they're approving this. So is that an unfair competitive situation where a home field advantage for the Bears would be different than it would be for the Cowboys with the fans, with money flowing in? And
it also brings into a question of who is allowed into these games. Like, Jeff has season tickets. Mallory has season tickets. Chris Bleck has season tickets. How do you, if the Bears decide to do this as well, and this just becomes the norm here by the time we get to the fall, where 25%, you can have 25% capacity, because I don't think the NFL would allow it. The NFL's all big about competitive balance. You can't
you
get
think
in,
so? They're I all do. About the dollars, too. You tell no, me see, that's, that if Jerry Jones yeah. can get 25,000 people in his beautiful stadium, that he's going to be asked to turn down that money?
Well, Roger Goodell is a representative of all of the owners, so he has to hear all of the owners. And I feel like if you didn't get a approval from all of the owners, then no, you couldn't. It's not fair that the Packers could have fans and the Bears couldn't have fans. Where am I going to get my second down noise from?
I could see this being a point of contention, though, because we know that guys like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft have more sway amongst NFL owners than a lot of other ones do. And so, like, Jerry Jones being in Texas is going to be, he never wants to miss an opportunity to make a buck. And so I can imagine him being very loud and vocal about not having the opportunity to make money if the state is allowing them to do so, but you could also see why plenty of other owners around the league would not be happy with that.
When I weigh this, guys, my first blush thought is, if we have advancements enough where in some states we could have crowds and in other states we can't, we're just going to have to live with the unquote unfair nature this year, because nothing is going to be normal, that we're just going to have to deal with whatever happens now. And why would we ever stymie something that is safe in one place just because it's not safe in another place? Like, I get what you're saying about like competitive balance, but whether it's a play-in tournament in Portland and Zion, you know, New Orleans gets to play in when they normally wouldn't into the NBA playoffs, and Portland gets to play in. All bets are off, in my opinion, this year, and we just have to go with the flow. This is going to be one of those outlier years where some things are going to be fair and some things aren't, and we're just going to have to deal with what we can and cannot do.
And yeah, I think you're right, Sylvie. And I think, too, when you really look at it, like, logically, a huge home crowd is one thing. Like, a sparsely populated home crowd like the Chargers have dealt with for the last few years now is not really thought of as a huge home field advantage. So even though the Cowboys might be able to get, you know, 20,000 people into AT&T Stadium in Dallas, you know, that's not like a huge advantage. It's not like they're going to be so loud in the stadium that you're not going to be able to make your audible calls at the line of scrimmage. Whereas, you know, if you could fill it up, that'd be a different story. But I don't think it is a huge, huge advantage to have 25% of the fans in your home stadium.
So the next question then is, who gets to go to these games? Jeff has season tickets, like I said. Chris Black has season tickets. How do you decide who the 25% are? How do you decide? Does everybody just get a refund and then it's a first come, first serve? You just put it up online?
I think you do it with your season ticket holders, don't you?
But you have more than 25% of your season tickets.
I think the Bears, like, it's like 80% of their tickets are season ticket holders.
So how do you say which season tickets are more valuable than other season tickets?
You get two games apiece, don't you, or something like that? I mean, isn't that
the way it would
work out?
I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point, Sylvie. You might divvy it up.
I don't know. You would have to have a lottery or some sort of a thing, where everyone who wants to go, because I'm sure they're going to give people an option if they're a partial crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This should come as no surprise, but if I have the option, I'm out.
Right.
No thanks. I'll see you in 2021, Bears.
And you should, I think you should be given that option, where this is, again, just like competitive nature, there are some people who just won't feel comfortable being with a group of it's Soldier Field, so it's 60,000 people. That's 15,000. Whether or not it's a spread out 15,000, some people won't be wanting to go to a place with 15,000 people this year. And I would think you have a chance to opt out, and then you draw from the people who are your season ticket holders, and you split them up. I mean,
I would think so, but I still see it that a lot of owners, because you're going to see that a majority of places won't be able to do this. Like, I don't think you're going to get, by the time football plays, a majority of the states that are open to this, right? Like, we know, based on what the mayor and what the governor have done here in Illinois, the Chicago and Illinois is not going to be an option to have 25% of your fans. At least I don't see that
happening. I can't imagine it. No, Florida will.
Florida will. Wisconsin might. Florida might. Texas already has, you know.
Indiana.
The Carolinas for the Panthers. So, like, I'm wondering, if you don't have a majority of places that can do this, if, you know, the NFL just says, sorry, it doesn't. Like, you can do it for colleges because it's part of your revenue, but as far as game day revenue for the NFL, we rely more on TV anyway, so 25% for us is not worth the fight between the owners.
I don't know, dude. You're seeing this cash argument in baseball. Any cash they can make up.
Well, baseball, it's split. The revenue is split amongst the owners.
Right.
So that might be a different, just because they're so cash, you know, strong. And then, fine, that's even more leverage for the players at this point.
But baseball's not, their game day revenue is not split. It's not split like the NFL is. The NFL is, they're the ones who generally will, you know, it's revenue sharing across the board for the most part.
For the gate, yeah.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. What if we get to a point where in September, there are some states that are allowing 25% of the people in the building? I'm fine with it. I'm fine even if the Bears don't have a competitive edge, if they have no third down noise, because I just want, when it's safe and it's safe in one state, we should just move forward. And if it's not in another, we shouldn't force it. And if things are unsafe, if things are unfair a little bit this year, we're just going to have to deal with it. Tell me if you agree or disagree. 332-3776. I want to play you some Andy Reid here. I promised you that. Andy Reid was on the radio station today, and he talked about a lot of Bears stuff, Meller, right? What's the best way to kind of get work our way into this?
Well, obviously, folks are probably familiar with the fact that Andy Reid has a pretty substantial history with Nick Foles, not just in Kansas City, but also when he drafted him in Philadelphia. And so Carmen Yerk just asked about what he thinks of Nick Foles.
I'm a big Nick Foles fan. I think he's a tremendous person. I think he's a tremendous football player. I'm watching tape on him when he's at Arizona. So it's his last year at the University of Arizona. It's his last year, and he has all freshman offensive linemen except one of them was a sophomore, I think. He is getting shellacked, like just knocked on his tail every play. And he never complained. Those linemen would come grab him and pick him off the ground, help him up. And he never griped me. He never mentioned it when I got together. I said, man, you got knocked around a little bit. He goes, yeah, I had some young guys, but man, they were getting better as the year went on and da 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 da. And so I said, I always take things through the O line and D line. When I talk to, when we're going to draft a receiver, I'm going to go talk to the linemen to see what they say about the guy. Or we're going to draft a defensive back, I'm going to find those defensive linemen. I'm going to talk to them because they're going to shoot you straight. They're going to give you the real story on the guy. They don't pull any punches. And so this kid, I mean, I loved him for that. And he'll be great with Mitch. He'll do a nice job. And Mitch Trubisky has talent, and he's just working through it. Man, that quarterback thing's a tough thing, especially in a tough city like Chicago. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. So he'll be great for Mitch, and he'll also be right in there to compete with him every day. And then Matt's got a phenomenal offensive mind, and so. You know, he'll situate that whole thing and make it work. You gotta have a little trust, man. It's tough to trust if things hadn't gone so well. It went well the first year, second year, it was up and down. So you just gotta hang with Matt and trust him, and he'll get it right. He's a good football coach, and he's got a good staff too.
Super Bowl champion Andy Reid on with Carmen and Yurko today. And, you know, I thought of Yurko right away when I heard Andy Reid say, who do we go to? We go to the offense. We go to the lineman to shoot you straight. Whether it's about a DB, we go to the D line. Whether it's about the quarterback or receiver, we go to the O line. And I always think about why Yurko's always had this great relationship with Andy Reid since Andy was an assistant with Green Bay, because who do you guys know who shoots you straight more than Yurko?
I'm hard-pressed to find someone in my life who shoots straighter than Yurko.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty good. But he's a fan of Nick Foles, he's a fan of Nagy, he's a fan of Trubisky, so all's good. We should be good then, guys. We're good.
Andy Reid sounds like someone who can co-sign your 13-3 Bears fanaticism.
I've got them at 9-7. What do you have them at? 2-14?
6-10.
Abdal, where are you? You're at like 7-9, right?
No, I'm like 8-8, 9-7, actually.
Oh,
I get
okay.
labeled. I get painted with a broad hater brush that I drink nothing but hater.
You're getting him drunk on that Bears Kool-Aid. His record is progressively increasing. So.
I said it from the jump. I said 8-8.
Well, what is your prediction? I want that on record. Is it 8-8 or 9-7?
Crowds or no crowds? Do we get second down noise or no second down noise?
I think no crowds. Will that help Mitch if Mitch should win the battle?
I'm going to say 8-8. They're a 500 team. Okay, to me, it feels like a cop-out to say 8-8, but they're 8-8. Yeah, hater. Yeah, okay. Literally their exact record from last year.
All right. So I know people want to talk about the crowd situation. If there are states that allow a crowd, I mean, I still can't really picture it, but Miami's been talking about this for a while. So Texas is saying 25% capacity. What if some of these NFL cities can have a crowd? Is that fair across the board where some cities can't and some cities can? If you want to weigh in on that, 332-3776. More on that next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Talking a little football right now about if crowds would be allowed in limited capacity by the fall. And someone tweeted, guys, saying that right now, as of now, they're allowing crowds in outdoor stadiums only, and that doesn't include retractable roofs. So AT&T would not be one of those places. And same with Reliant, right? Houston's also a retractable
Yes,
roof.
You are correct.
So we'll see where where it moves forward. We got Waddle's World coming up at 3:30. A lot of room for you today. Pretty much guest-free to Mark Gene Greco, and he's not a guest. He's a participant. 312-332-3776. Some fun later getting to think about these, you know, as we slowly move to reopenings, you know, haircuts are going to be allowed, just sitting outside on a patio at a restaurant. What you're most looking forward to out of all these things to getting back to normal. And then Jesse's going to tell us all the bad habits that he's picked up during quarantine. If you want to volunteer, 332-3776. John's on 94. Johnny, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show. And I'm all for sports getting back and watching the Bears in the stadium. But how in the world are you going to say to 25,000 people through the 20 gates or whatever to get in to stay 6 feet apart or when you got to use the restroom? I mean, I don't see how it could work. Do you?
When I first heard about Miami, and I think Miami was the first one, John, where they were pretty adamant right away, and you know how they run things in Florida. They're
right.
It's the Renegades.
There's a reason we have a game Florida or Ohio.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, whoa, how could they do it? But I guess they're like, it's just like anything that we're adapting to where you've got to go this way to the bathroom and you can only go through this store and you have to wait here until they let you in. I don't know.
You're going to miss the whole game.
Well, this is how it's going to work, John. So if you have 15,000 people at Soldier Field, 3,750 of you can go to the bathroom in the first quarter. The other 3,750 get the second quarter, and then so on and so forth. So you just have to hold it if you're in the first quarter, and you have to hold it through the whole game until the fourth quarter. Just hope it's not a tight game.
I think it's going right. I think if anyone's been into a grocery store over the last couple of months, you know, you've seen that, you know, most grocery stores have some type of markings on the ground, whether they're, you know, just depends on the grocery store you're in. But some of them are actually like actual dots that are just laid on the ground where to stand. Some of them have like just, masking tape, you know, where X's are and sure. where the lines are, you know, supposed to be crossed off and where you're not supposed to go across. But the reality is that when you're in the grocery store doing your shopping, you're walking through aisles. And even if you're going in the direction that you're supposed to, which not everybody does, but if you go down the aisle in the direction that you're supposed to, you'll come into spaces where it's impossible. If you're going to cross a person in the aisle, you can't be 6 feet across from them. And the reality is that I think once there's going to be some inherent risk if you're willing to attend these games that you're going to take on as the consumer, whether you like it or not, and you're just signing up for that. So that's, you know what I mean? Like, sure, there'll be spaces where you should be able to go and where they're going to direct you. But the reality is no one's going to be arrested for coming within 3 feet of someone when they're supposed to be, you know, 6 feet apart. You're just going to have to assume or hope that, you know, the people around you are going to be, you know, aware of that and willing to at least practice proper social distancing as much as possible.
And with the tickets, you're going to have to spread everybody out.
I'll tell you guys this. So today, this just, it's different because it's a year away, but I still had to make the decision today. So I was supposed to go with our pal Danny Zetterman, producer of Kappa Company, up to Alpine Valley to see Rage Against the Machine this summer, obviously canceled, rescheduled for July of next year.
Wow.
And but we had to make the decision on whether or not we wanted a refund by June 2nd. Like, I still have a couple days, obviously. So I texted him today. I go, do you still want to go next summer? He's like, yeah, we have seats. It should be fine. Like, what, they're going to make us wear a mask maybe or something, because we're going to be, you know, we're all going to be in like a small area. But because like we're not, because we have seats and we're not going to be like in this huddled crowd, like on the lawn or anything, we can kind of somewhat control our environment, right? But this is like decisions that we're making for a year in advance,
year,
and we're
right?
still like, let's
well,
go.
It's like we were talking
like I
about vacation.
I could always sell them, I guess, right?
Like we were talking with Carmen Crosstalk. Do you plan for a vacation? Do you think in December it will be better? Will there be a second wave? Will you be open to staying in a hotel room like you used to do and everything like that? But I don't know. It's really hard to picture, but it sure seems as a society that we have adapted pretty. I mean, like, what has it been? It's been two and a half months?
Yeah, about 10 weeks.
Yeah.
10 weeks. And, like, look at the way we operate in a lot of areas. I mean, we have way more time between now and the start of football than we did with the start of this. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And look at the way we've adapted. I don't know. It's tough to imagine anything.
Well, and, like, as you know, we've said this time and time again on the show. A lot depends on what happens in science. You know, things can change rather quickly if you have some advancements that are encouraging, and we could completely change the outlook of the way we are willing to approach things.
Right,
but without that knowledge, at this point, we're kind of just, you know, you're crossing your fingers and saying, okay, I hope things get better a year from now. That would be great. And we would all, I think, happily sign up for that if you give us that promise, you know?
One of the restaurants I follow that's up here in Highland Park on Instagram, like they put out on their Instagram page, they have this huge patio and they are opening, I think it's tonight, they're open. And they have so many rules, if you want to go, that you have to abide by, you know, about where you enter, that when you're seated, you have to be here. There is no walking around. Like, you can get up to go to the bathroom, but once you do, a mask must be put on. That there is no, you know how, like, sometimes kids get up from their chairs and they could wander. There's no wandering, you know?
Hmm.
And there are just certain ways you could enter, certain ways you could go to the bathroom, certain ways you have to be distanced. And we're gonna have to adapt. I think we adapt better than we think, but it's going to be a whole new thing to see if some states will allow crowds going in.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, and, you know, day by day. And like you said, state by state, too, because, you know, I mean, I've got a couple relatives in Wisconsin and things are being handled dramatically differently. And, you know, the question is, do you want to, you know, at both Wisconsin and Indiana, you know what I mean? Like, we live on, obviously, here in Chicago, where you can go get to either state pretty quickly. And so, you know, the question is, like, do you want to venture out to that state and see how differently things are being handled? Because I can tell you, they are dramatically different in Indiana and Wisconsin.
Our boss, Mike Thomas, told me that it is like a different world in Wisconsin outside of Milwaukee right now.
Yeah.
Like, Milwaukee, because it's a metropolis, it's a little bit more tightened up, but in some of these like smaller towns,
I believe Anthony in St. Charles has that. He just called. Like, he wants to talk about that same thing.
Anthony in St. Charles, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey guys, what's happening? Yeah, I was up in Lake Geneva last weekend, and I mean, great area, nice area. Bars and restaurants were packed. No face coverings. No social distancing. Indoor eating. I mean, my wife and I felt safe. It's just, I don't understand how one state next to us, it's okay to do all this stuff. And then you cross the border into Illinois and it's, you know, so strict. I don't know. I think as a society, we have to determine individually whether or not we feel safe going out.
Right, right. And that's the same way it's going to happen with stadiums when they eventually open. There will be states like Florida and others that will want crowds. And I just don't see a way that if it is allowed that you would ever turn down that money. Dave's in Naperville. Hey, Dave, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah. Hey, Sylvie, to your point there, my daughter works in ticket operations at Hard Rock Stadium for the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her a couple of days ago and I said, what's the plan? She goes, we have one plan and one plan only, 100% capacity.
Really? 100%?
Yeah, and I said, well, what? I asked her, I said, what happened to the 25%. She goes, that's off the table. We're planning for, you know, to sell every seat.
Wow. I mean, look, everything along this way, at least for me, Dave, has been a wow moment. Like, when they shut down sports that one day, it was a wow moment. I remember arguing with Danny, hey, we're going to need another spring training because we're going to be shut down for a few weeks here. I mean, we're thinking, like, a few weeks. And then, like, everything becomes the new normal. And that's, again, it seems like it's been forever. But it's, like Meller says, it's been 10 weeks. It's been far too long. But there's so much time between now and September where therapeutics can change and advancements can change. And hopefully the decline will help and everything like that. But appreciate the phone call. 312-332-3776. I was going to ask you guys, can you believe that? But yes, you guys just mentioned we play a game called Florida or Ohio.
Yeah, and no surprise, Florida is leading the way in this one, right?
We have one plan and one plan only. It's to get everyone in the building to watch Tua play football.
Listen, if one state has to be, you know, our guinea pig, what better state than Florida to do it? We'll watch and learn and see what happens in a month.
We can saw it off, right? That was like a thing.
Good point. Yeah,
we have a Florida or Ohio today, and it's coming up in Waddle's World. That's all next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports fans. Look at the aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. Making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Da, 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 da.
I love that. Absolutely love it. Waddle, how many pictures of a beer can has Waddle sent us since he's been on vacation?
Too many.
Not enough, some would say.
Today, a picture of the Coors Light in the sand and the waves crashing behind it. And then he landed, and it was a picture of him with a natty light. So two. We've gotten two.
Just two. But I think the headline the caption he sent us, Sylvie, I think was what made the text that we got from him earlier today. What did it say? With the Coors Light. Greetings and salutations from heaven.
Yeah. I mean, rub it in. Rub it in over
here. As he's
here.
Down in South Carolina rewatching The Last Dance with a cold, refreshing Coors Light.
You know him.
Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Do you guys want some NBA news real quick?
And then yeah,
we
got to
talk
about
the other
that.
Sports. So Ramona Shelburne, so the Board of Governors had a call today, and they talked about a lot of things, safety, yada yada yada. The date of July 31st, which is a hopeful date, which is that's pretty much. Bill Simmons was doing some tweeting as well, saying that's pretty much like the drop dead date where they could have a full playoff, have this plan of a few games, a full playoff, and then have the NBA draft and then free agency start on October 1st, and then also have camps and everything, and then restart the next season around Christmas. So July 31st, beginning of August, that's kind of the latest they could do this. So Ramona tweets, among the four plans discussed on the Board of Governors call today was one in which teams that are within six games of a playoff spot would be invited to compete in regular season games and then a play-in tournament for a final playoff spot, sources told ESPN. Why six games, she says? Because historically teams haven't been able to come back from more than five games with this amount of games remaining on the schedule.
Okay, so where are the Bulls as far as...
The Bulls are more than six games.
Good. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a part of me, though, that if I'm allowed... Like, say the Bulls aren't going to be competing. Say there's no lottery tournament. It doesn't. We haven't heard any rumors of a lottery tournament, have we?
No, that hasn't been discussed.
Right.
Yet.
Okay. No. So say that no lottery tournament, Bulls aren't invited, but you are allowed to conduct like a camp. If I'm Karnishevis, I would want the Bulls to do some sort of a camp. Bring them all in. Let's see what some of their practice habits are. I mean. Fire Boylan, I'm fine. Have a young assistant run it before you've hired your head coach. But, like, don't you guys think that this is, like, almost an advantage that they could Karnishevis could get, because usually he wouldn't have been hired until the season ended anyway.
Absolutely. I think I said this the day he was hired, is that part of the reason I don't want Boylan back is because I want him to start making informed decisions on the players. And as long as Boylan's kind of overseeing things, it's hard for the play. I mean, look, the players, they're professionals, so they should obviously approach it with a professionalism. But as long as Boylan's overseeing things, there's no new fresh start in some ways. So I would much rather them just cut ties, move on, and like you said, Sylvie, have an opportunity to evaluate the talent on the roster as it's currently constructed. Yeah.
Right. Allow it 2 days because, okay, you were supposed to play 82. Now, you don't need Boylan. Get Boylan out of there. You don't even need a head coach. Let Eversley and Karnishevis hire their new player development guys.
Just let Levine coach.
That's kind of what's been going on.
Yeah.
But you don't have
a look. There's a good one, Abdallah. You gotta evaluate Levine. I mean, is Levine truly a guy who's going to take your franchise to the next level, or is he truly your best player on a really bad team?
There's two guys, Zach Levine and Lauri Markkanen. I think they need to figure out what they believe of those two players and whether or not they want to build around them, because the other guys, I think, at the very least, they'll be on the roster next season, whether it's Wendell Carter Jr. or Kobe White. Aren't those the only four players that really matter on the roster?
Well, Otto, he's back for another year
because
he's
a ton of money.
He's making so much money.
It's hard to envision Otto napping on the team,
Chris Dunn is at the facility. How about that?
Okay.
So basically under this plan that Ramona tweeted about, the Wizards would be the only team from the East that would get in because they are 5.5 games back of the Magic. And then the Hornets, maybe, because they're 7 games back, but I guess they wouldn't meet that threshold. But in the West, you would have the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, the Suns, and not the Timberwolves, so just the Suns. So the
Devin Booker.
They're 26 and 39. They shouldn't be invited. Get out.
Does that mean they're automatically not in the lottery? The less teams in the lottery with the Bulls, the better. We should be rooting for that. So I want all these teams like New Orleans, okay? You have a chance to make the playoffs, but because you have a chance to make the playoffs, you're not in the lottery. I don't know how they would do it, because isn't the NHL lottery less than it normally is because they're allowing 24 teams in?
Yes.
So this, to me, is better. I think it's better if Zion's in the postseason because we get him. I want to watch Zion play more.
I think the lottery system in the NHL was, if you understand the lottery system, you get the first
You're
pick.
In.
If you could understand what Bettman was saying, you have the first pick. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, so it's good. There are some, obviously, for bigger pictures that we could solve all this. But just imagine, as much as we're just so thirsty for sports now, what it's going to be like every night if we can figure it out health-wise, starting in July with playoff games and hockey and NBA and Major League Baseball playing and the NFL going to camp. I mean, this is sports festivus.
Too much. It'll be too much.
Too much.
Well, no. I mean, it is sports festivus because the Major League Baseball Players Association and the owners are airing their grievances.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if that's going to be too much sports at once.
You get out.
Yeah, come out of there, Abdallah. You get out.
That's what we're going to debate next week. Let's bring that up to Waddle.
Guys, how
am I going to watch all these sports?
Here are two things that I don't want to hear
true,
from people.
Though. Listen, no. I'm sorry.
Get out. I don't care. You've got enough.
It'll be hard to prioritize all these sports. It's going to be hard to consume all of them.
We need a sports red zone channel then.
Yeah, we do.
That's not sports specific.
You're right.
Where they will have like someone, but it's, I'm sure the rights are too hard, where you will have mission control and you could go to every big game going on.
Here's what I don't. There's two things I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear that there's too much sports. I also don't want to hear after like the first bricked shot or bad shot. I don't want to hear, we'll see. This is just bad basketball now because they had so much time off. Get out.
We should start a petition for that. That we will all agree, a Waddle and Sylvie petition, we should try and get it up and around nationally, where people sign it and they agree that on social media, they will not bitch about the badness of sports. Because of they're not in shape, or they're not shooting well. Just shut up and just enjoy it when we get it back.
Oh, they didn't have enough training camp, so this is bad football. Shut up. You're not allowed to watch football anymore.
See, I thought you would be one of those guys, Abdallah.
No, I just want sports. And, are you kidding me? Don't give me gambling on NASCAR, for God's sake.
And don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, like, I don't want them all back. What I'm saying is, though, like, I'm envisioning a scenario where you've got the NBA playoffs going on. You've got the Hawks in the playoffs. You've got Cubs and White Sox playing. And I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, I cannot – literally, I don't have enough TVs to consume all the sports that I want to be watching.
But no, but you already have that. There is a time where the NBA, the NHL, baseball, and the NFL are all going on. It's only like a two-week time during the during a regular year. But when we normally have
sports – But it's during the postseason,
yes,
in baseball.
If you go all the way back to when I first started here, it was we didn't have DVRs. We had to tape everything with cassette tapes and trying to tape every game that was going on.
And you haven't been there like
April
going
and
back
May
to,
was a disaster.
You haven't been there. You've been here for a while, but you don't go back to the VHS days. It's just that was our technology back in the day.
Yeah. We just had VHS. Yeah, we had that was the only way we could do things. It just took us forever to get a DVR. And I remember having to go to all these different rooms where we had TVs and VHS setups. Be like, okay, I got the Sox game over here. I got the Cubs game over here. I've got it set to record on Saturday at 4 because no one's going to be in the building. So we just have to hope it records.
9 hours of a videotape.
Yeah. Heller, you got to shut up.
Listen, hey, all right, we'll get to August. You figure it out, man.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to try.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to do my best.
I guess I'll be the one watching the Hawks for us then.
Oh, whoa.
Listen, as a I've said this. I said this all week after they came back, they announced to come back. As a lifelong Blackhawks fan, I'm excited for postseason hockey.
Me too.
Yes.
I'm going to put down money on the Hawks, by the way. Why not $10 on the Hawks to win it all?
Oh, for sure. Why not? You have to drive to a casino to do it, though.
All right. We got more. Don't we have more coming
we do.
Up?
We do.
Silly stuff.
Yeah,
Florida,
yeah,
Ohio.
Yeah.
It's all coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We should have done this story first because it involves John Madden and he does voice the Waddle's World Open, whether he knows it or not.
Right.
But John Madden tells Sunday Night Football producer that he does not want fake crowd noise.
Neither do I. I think Phil Rosenthal wrote a piece on this too in the Tribune.
He said, when I first left the coaching profession and went into broadcasting, there was something about it that I just felt was missing and I couldn't really put my finger on it. He said, this conversation with Madden, he said, and then I realized I wasn't hearing the sound that I'd grown accustomed to hearing. So he doesn't think that they should. He thinks that he'd be worried about artificial sound and it not having the same effect.
I don't understand. Is the job of a broadcast, and we can get into this more later, the job of a play-by-play broadcast or any like coverage of any event is to give the viewer the reality of what we're seeing. So if we're seeing a sporting event, what the plays that are happening, why they're happening, watch the drama develop. And if there's a hostile crowd of 75,000 making it tough on the defense, that's part of the story. But if there's no crowd and we're in the middle of this, why do we need hidden the fact that that's the reality? Like, they didn't add many bells and whistles to the TNT broadcast of the golf. They didn't add noise. They just added interviews. Don't give me fakeness. Cover the sport. Cover the event the way it is. And don't give me anything fake.
Well, I also think they're going to the games that we watch now. So, like, yesterday after the NASCAR, they played the playoff game between the Seahawks and the Packers. It was Hasselbeck against Favre. I can't think of the year off the top of my head, but you know what I'm talking about. And so, if they are doing this, like if we get classic games and they're replaying them, you know, 20 years from now or 25 years from now, don't you want to not have the fake crowd noise too?
Of course.
Isn't it something like
weird?
Tell
the story.
Like when Mason is watching those games with his son and he's like, and his son looks up and he goes, Papa, why is there no crowd? Why are there no fans? He could say, well, I remember watching this game with my dad, with your grandfather, and there was a pandemic. and we recorded. He was home for this whole time for no good reason. No, I'm just kidding. He was home a lot, and he hung out with me all the time because there was a pandemic and we couldn't go to games.
Yes,
and so I feel like it's like a measuring of history and like a time capsule of history. When you see these games and there won't be fans or 25% or whatever we get.
And you're supposed to, this is a good topic for Wilbon. You're supposed to accurately portray it. And don't give me fake. Don't make it fake. Don't make it something that it's not. Look, that's going to be part of the story. In a baseball season, when there's 82 games or if they ever agree, like getting up every day and being ready to play instead of having 40,000 people watching you. Don't you think that that's going to have an effect on the players and their stamina and their energy level on a daily
absolutely.
Basis?
No, absolutely. You're definitely right about that. There's going to be extra. Well, there'll be the lack of adrenaline, especially I think I've seen people, baseball players speculate that, or former players speculate that, you know, as a pitcher, you know, that extra adrenaline that you have a lot of times for that fastball, you know, with two strikes comes
three
from the crowd.
Two, the crowd's on the feet, yeah.
So that's going to be lacking for sure. But it kind of feels like, you know, based on what Joe Buck has said, you know, in a couple places now, that crowd noise is something that they seem to want to pipe in. But I'm with you. The other thing is, Sylvie, if they bring in fan noise or, you know, pipe it in fake fan noise, it's going to be a lot on, like, you guys call me audio man. I'll tell you what, you're going to be watching at home, and if they are doing fake crowd noise, you're going to probably be wondering, it seems like it should be louder if they're putting that noise in, or there's going to be moments where you're like, well, it's not loud enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little thing, but if you're going to put it in there, you're only as good as whoever's going to be, you know, keep putting the fake crowd noise in.
I don't want it. Yeah, I don't want it. I want the games the way they look. I want LeBron, if he's in, LeBron against Kawhi with no crowd in Disney World. Don't give me a fake crowd in the back. I want to see that. Wait, it is. Like in a gym. I mean, we've always wondered what that would be like.
All right, for the nonsense, coronavirus. Monkeys escape with COVID-19 samples after attacking lab assistant.
I had to click on this to make sure this wasn't a fake story.
Yeah, this it sounds like a Mad Libs headline, right? You put in monkeys and COVID-19. One of the primates was reportedly later spotted up in a tree chewing one of the sample collection kits. A gang of monkeys attacked a laboratory assistant and escaped with a batch of coronavirus blood test samples, it has been reported. The bizarre incident saw the troop of primates launch their assaults near Meerut Medical College in Delhi, India.
You know how I feel when I go to the zoo. That's my favorite. My favorite part of the zoo is the monkey exhibits. And the one in Arizona have the little monkeys where they're on high wires above you. So they can, like, throw stuff at you. I think it's super cool.
Now, there's no need to panic. Dhiraj Raj, Meerut Medical College superintendent, said that the sample boxes were later recovered and had not been damaged.
Oh, sure. They weren't tainted at all.
They were still intact, and we don't think there's any risk of contamination or spread.
Okay.
Sounds like the perfect theme for Outbreak 2.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Naked woman breaks into police car lot, steals truck, hits a deer.
So this isn't Florida versus Ohio?
No, this is not. This is in Michigan. A Jackson County Department of Transportation truck was heavily damaged when a naked woman broke into the Napoleon Township lot, stole the truck, hit a deer, police said. Officers received a strange call about a car crash near a home at the, you don't care where, in that town. They arrived to find a heavily damaged pickup, a dead deer, and a woman wearing only an orange safety vest and hat she had retrieved from the truck. The 30-year-old woman told officers she was with someone earlier that night who had kicked her out of the vehicle and left her on the side of the road. It's unclear how or why the woman was naked, adding he believes drugs and suspected prostitution were involved.
Oh, wow. During these days, huh?
I mean, listen, you gotta, it's the world's oldest, world's oldest work
career?
Thing?
Career, what, yeah. Profession?
World's oldest profession. Yeah, that's it. World's oldest profession. Getting money for that.
By the way, it reminded me of a TV show that I just started, and I can't wait for what to watch for today. Are we doing it at 4:30, 4:45?
4:45. 4:45. Should we bring Jesse back in for Florida or Ohio? He's just sitting there. I saw his text like 5 minutes ago.
Oh,
my
phone's down.
I think he just texted me, and you know, he was on important network business.
Yes.
And I hope people just.
How was Tim Kirchian?
I hope people just think he was pooping.
Oh, yeah. For Waddle, that's the opposite. He's the opposite of a Waddle poop.
He's taking a 45,
he took 45 minutes.
A 45-minute poop break.
All right,
Jesse, you there?
I just got out of the bathroom, guys. All right,
cool.
Why'd you out me like that?
Let's play Florida, Ohio real quick.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Wow.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery.
Ah.
Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Bum, bum. All right. Now, because we are in different locations, Sylvia, you're at your house. Jesse, you're at your house. Mel and I are in the studio. Please do not cheat and Google the name of the place. Because it's very key to the story.
Okay.
Let's see the headline here. Man faces charges after investigation of shots fired. A man is facing several charges following a shooting investigation in a town on Wednesday. A woman told police that she had been with her friend, Edward Johnson, at Shots Bar and Grill. But Johnson became intoxicated and angry. She left because she felt unsafe and he threatened to come back into the establishment with a gun. So there were shots fired at Shots Bar and Grill.
Shots Bar and Grill, okay.
Shots Bar and Grill with an E, just in, you know, for fancy times. We got to add the E at the end. Police found shotgun shells and Johnson in the cup holder of the vehicle, and he was arrested. No one was hurt, but shots fired at Shots Bar and Grill. I ask you, in Florida or Ohio?
We've debated this about, is Ohio open too?
Both states are open.
Okay, all right. I'm going to say in honor of the despicable Marge shot that this is Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, and I'm going to do a George Costanza and go against my instincts. I'm going to do the opposite. I would have said Florida, but I'm going to go with Sylvia. I'm going to go with Ohio as well.
Friday for me means a Florida guest, boy, so I'll go with Florida.
Okay.
Shots fired were fired at Shots Bar and Grill in Austintown, Ohio.
Yeah! There you go, Jess.
If the opposite of your instincts is whatever it is, whatever Costanza's line is, I'm doing the opposite for
yeah,
now.
Yeah, there you go. You're good. Yeah, you got a lot in common with Costanza, too.
Yeah, don't I?
All right. Look, I didn't originally think we were going to go back to the baseball story, but there is a prominent Chicago baseball man who says to just cancel the season. I'll tell you about that in 2 minutes.